there were 75 leaders from churches and nonprofits. I have a weekly prayer meeting now via, I think it's Zoom or WebEx or something. And so there's several things like that happening. I think most local churches have shifted to a, you know, Facebook Live or streaming a service or just a sermon. And there's been some discussion of rethinking the form of church being based on neighborhoods or streets rather than, you know, people from all over a city going to this one church and their neighbor goes to a different church, and so they don't really relate together about their neighbors. So I think it's an opportunity, and I think God wants us to think about that. So that's a couple things going on here.
Excellent. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it. Kathy, I know your view is a little more national with the National Day of Prayer, and I'd love to hear your perspective on a resource that happened yesterday with a leader check-in with Pulse. But mm-hmm. Kathy, you want to share and just encourage us today?
Absolutely. Well, we are trying with Love 2020, Go 2020, National Day of Prayer, you know, Pulse, Table Coalition. We're all still running together, and that's what I love is you're seeing a lot of collaboration. And yesterday's leader check-in was an amazing visual of that, and I'm so grateful for how smoothly things went, how many people kept jumping on board. I'm laughing because a week ago last night, Nick called me and he's like, hey, I got this crazy idea. Will you help me? And I love it when Nick has a crazy idea because you know it's from God. And so for that to come together in a week, 10 days, was just nothing short of a miracle the way it ran. And so we do see people coming together. We do see not just the evangelists, but everyone eager to share good news, to share hope, to share encouragement, and Facebook is full of it. I hope other social media is. I know there's algorithms now that feed you what Facebook thinks you want to see, but, you know, last Friday night, you could spend 2 hours skimming your Facebook feed, and it was people, worship people singing, and people reading the Bible, and people giving messages of encouragement straight out of Scripture. And so I'm so grateful for all of that. We see in our cities, we see cities praying for cities, and we're encouraging that. I love that the prayer movement, that this has been a moment where government, all the seven mountains that we pray into, are receiving the gift of prayer. And so where our state leaders right now are usually badgering the governor's office for proclamations for the National Day of Prayer, because not only do we have a presidential proclamation every year, but every governor has given us a proclamation every year for their state and many mayors. And we know that people in the PR offices, proclamation offices and all, are not considered essential workers, and many of them have been sent home. So our state coordinators have been calling the governor's office and asking for prayer requests and leaving, if they get the chance to leave a message, a voicemail, they're just praying over the voicemail so that governors and mayors know that we don't pray against. We're not here to be their critics. We're here to intercede for them and to intercede for our states and our cities. So I love that that is happening, and it's being very warmly received. We've only had one governor say, don't pray for me. So we're really pressing in for that state. Every city, we're collecting glory stories of how people are collecting money to feed healthcare workers, special lunches, special dinners, how people are sewing masks. This is phenomenal to just watch and get to be a part of and pray into. And God has really set us up. And so yesterday I filmed a video just talking about and encouraging how we need to be warriors and not grow weary, that this is war. This is what we were trained for. We are God's workmanship, and He has knit us together, given us our experiences, our education, our influence, our talents, our gifts. And in Ephesians, it tells us that we're His workmanship, created in Christ, so that we can, you know, walk in the good works that God's prepared beforehand. And so it's time to walk. It's not time to sit. It's not time to binge watch. It is time to go to war. And so we are continuing to send out videos to encourage the warriors, keep them going. If there's anything in particular we can be praying for your city, same message for Go 2020, same message, you know, that we just keep sending out. You can shelter in place and still go. And so how are all these different ways you can go? National Day of Prayer, of course, we will not under any circumstance break any regulation about social distancing. We are not calling for personal public gatherings at this time. We'll see if God gives us a miracle, but if He doesn't, we will absolutely, we are beating that drum. We will not break that rule, those regulations. But we are encouraging people to go prayer walk the Seven Mountains. So go on a drive, go park in the school parking lot and pray for education. Go park in the church parking lot, a business parking lot. You get the idea. So we're doing that. The last thing I'd say is I'm going to ask for prayer for Nick, and they're doing it's already been videoed, but they're doing a Good Friday service that is going to go out around the world. Many of the things were videoed yesterday so that they could be translated, and currently, as of my morning conversation with Nick this morning, it's going out in over 21 languages around the world. It was currently being translated into Mandarin this morning. And so we are grateful, but he is begging for prayer for this Good Friday broadcast. I believe it's going to be like 4 or 5 Eastern time. And so if you'll stay tuned for that, but if you will just press in and pray away the enemy and pray a hedge of protection around this good news going out, because, you know, maybe God didn't want us to wait till May. Maybe He's like, all right, I'm just going to give you guys a head start. Be ready to disciple. And hearts are being prepared all over the world for the gospel, so we need to keep prayer care share going. Thanks.
Well, Kathy, you just said so much. I'm trying to, you know, get the websites out on the chat here so people can look up these really important events and activities that are happening. And these mm-hmm. are tremendous resources for us as city reachers. I've been texting with some of our local people here, you know, trying to figure out what we're going to do, because we had all of these National Day of Prayer meetings planned, and, of course, we can't mm-hmm. meet like we had planned. And so I love your guidance there. Some of those gatherings may go video. We may join some of the national video streams that are going on. But I love the idea of just going out and doing your prayer walk. Just your neighborhood or a local school, or maybe it's a mm-hmm. it's a campus. You know, keep your social distance, but get out there and pray. I think that's just wonderful counsel.
We will have a national broadcast, just so you know, as we always have. It's going to be bigger than ever. It'll be from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be on God TV, on Daystar, on Moody Radio. It'll be streamed. It'll be on Facebook Live. Several other channels have contacted us and said, can we carry it as well? So kind of our message right now is stay tuned. We've been trying to keep everybody's eyes on Easter. For right now, people are like, why aren't you really promoting this? And I'm like, Jesus, let's just keep our eyes on Easter, and come Monday we will promote NDP Six Ways to Wednesday. But just know that there will be a national observance, and it will be televised. So I encourage you to participate in that as well.
And I would think that on the events page for the National Day of Prayer, that if you already signed up as an event, you could go in there and change it. And if you are doing a local stream, that you can, you know, put the link to that on the events page. Otherwise, just direct people to the national call.
Correct.
Excellent. Yep. Oh, okay.
Thank you. Thank you
so much. Let's take a minute just to pray for you and Nick right now. Lord, we thank you that you are at work nationally, and these resources are being mobilized for our edification, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that we can do the work of ministry and proclaiming the gospel. And I pray a special covering of protection over Kathy and her family and her ministries, Lord. And I pray a special blessing on Nick, Lord. And we thank you for their leadership, Father. And just protect them, Father. Keep them from this virus. Keep them from evil. Keep them from wickedness. Anything that might distract them or turn them away from the purpose and the calling that you have placed on their lives. We are so grateful for them, Lord. And we pray for your provision. And we pray for just the proper amount of rest and work, all to your praise and to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, Michael Douglas, you're on the call with us. What's happening out there on the West Coast?
Well, as you probably know, California was the first state in the nation to clamp down on moving around and stay-at-home restrictions and all that. So we've adapted to the new abnormal as best we can. And just a couple of highlights. We've added online prayer using different types of internet tools. And so we've added additional prayer events so that people can connect with those. We partnered with Commercial Talk Radio here in our area, and they are airing, although they don't have the live program available to us anymore. We were 2 weeks live with them, getting information out to the community, and now they're allowing us to do specials, and so that's a way to be salt and light through commercial radio, a secular venue. We have added late night podcasts on meaningful highlights about COVID-19, and offered late night prayer venues for the community online as well. And then probably a lot of you have done this. Our invocations now for city council and the county board of supervisors. We're still doing invocations, but we do them by phone, phoning in. At Advanced Environment Communities, we're still making connections thanks to meettheneed.org, Jim's wonderful tool there. And we're still making connections in the community, but we're advising people to do it according to governmental guidelines. If you're dropping off a crib for someone, make sure you wipe it down, you sanitize it, you use gloves and the mask, and you set the crib down safely away from your car, and then allow, the person who needs it to come up and pick it up. So we're adding those guidelines to it. We've increased, again, our prayer time, and one of the themes that has come out of our pastoral and vocational ministry prayer times is a sense of our need to focus on humility and repentance corporately, and then also to start praying towards a government exit strategy. I was part of the State Office of Emergency Services for many years before going into vocational ministry. And while we were really good at saving lives and all of that, I also know that we do really good plans to get stuff done, but we don't always make good plans on how to exit. And with businesses closing and people out of work and all of those stressors, we're praying that our governmental leaders have a good exit strategy involved. And then National Day of Prayer, of course, we're promoting that as well, and we're asking people to have clusters of prayer around our county. And if they don't know how to do the online thing, Zoom or whatever the technology might be, we're helping them with that. So that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of what we're doing up here in Modesto, about an hour or so away from our brother Alan Oswald down there in Fresno.
Michael, that was perfect. It's amazing how much you packed in there in that brief explanation, but thank you. I really want to highlight what you said about humility and repentance. We shouldn't just kick into the mode of we're going to beat this thing. I think we should listen to what the Father's wanting to say to us all individually and for our congregations and ministries. And I love what you said, too, about beginning to have the Lord download what is the exit strategy. We don't want to just go back to business as normal after this. We want to see the new operating system that the Lord has for us and learn everything we can. So, Lord, continue to discipline us. And what a great segue for Alan. Alan, if you want to just share, and I've asked Alan if he would please share that resource with us as well. So go ahead, Alan.
Well, this is a very unusual time. When you stand back and look at the big picture, it's kind of bizarre what's going on in the world. And some of our pastors have been saying that they've never had so much outreach before through live streaming. So my church is the largest in town, about 4,000 members, and they have way more people than that watching every week. Some of these churches might end up larger at the end of this than they were before, because now people are feeling a sense of needing the Lord, needing to reach out more and pray more and watch church, and they don't have anything else to do anyway. They're at home. And so that's what some churches are saying. What we're seeing is more communication and caring than we've ever had in the body of Christ. Yesterday, I was able to talk for an hour with a man who was retiring from a large ministry in town, and it was difficult for him. I never would have taken probably a whole hour and spent, but we have time, we have a telephone, and we can talk to one another. And so we sense the body of Christ is really knitting together more. And I did write a book a couple years ago called Pray and Do the Next Thing. I have seen so much prayer taking place, and it's just about all I hear about in the last 2-3 years. But we pray, God gives us our marching orders, and then we do the next thing. And so for about 50 years in Fresno, God has taken us, the body of Christ, through stages and prayer and then action and prayer and action and working together, and it just goes deeper and deeper. That book is available on Amazon, if that might be helpful for your city, called Pray and Do the Next Thing. But one of the things we're doing this year is we have great unity in the body of Christ. Matter of fact, when Billy Graham came in 2001, we were surprised to hear him say that he saw more unity and cooperation among the pastors and Christian leaders in Fresno than he had ever seen anywhere in the world during his ministry. And that all came out of prayer summits. It all came out of praying together. And all don't have time to go into all the prayer opportunities that we have here. But one of the things we're doing is we're calling it Moving Unity Forward. And this year at our Martin Luther King luncheon, we decided to cut people into smaller groups across racial lines, denominational, socioeconomic, generational, and we're meeting together. And so we can have unity that goes beyond a handshake. It can actually, we can find out about each other's lives and go deeper. And so that's been a rich experience that we've needed to go deeper and not just get along, but really love one another deeply. So we're seeing great things happening. I look forward to, after this gets done, what the next thing is. But we really believe in listening to the Lord. He's our shepherd and following him. And he's taken us through some wonderful things in Fresno.
Well, I recognize that voice and that book.
Who's
Hello,
this?
Alan. Jim Gates.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good. Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah.
Welcome to the call, Jim. I'm glad you could join us. Give you a chance to check in a minute here. I'm going to go to Rick Hensel in Stevens Point, which is right in the middle of Wisconsin. And Rick and I partner together on a lot of the work here in Wisconsin, and so he also has a statewide view, and from time to time touches base here in the Fox Cities and in Milwaukee. But Rick, why don't you just give us a brief update on where you see God at work here in Wisconsin.
Geez, John, as soon as you mentioned my name, it started snowing here. What's going on?
No. God, it is snowing out. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, snow showers in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Well, as probably everybody has been doing this month so far. I've been on a number of Zoom conference meetings and phone conference meetings because we're kind of not going anywhere. We've had some good reports. I have to say, on the meetings and on the phone calls, everybody that I talk to is positive. You know, they know of people that are in fear. The two things that stand out strongly from what I've received in the last 2 weeks is that people are taking advantage of the opportunities to minister to their neighborhood. People are going out on walks, you know, staying at the right distance and saying hi and getting to know each other. One couple prays for people, asks them if there's anything they can pray about. And they're praying for people and then sending notes or doing a phone call. The other thing that I notice is it's provided a fine opportunity, and there's an increase in the amount of time that we are all taking to contact others, whether it's just giving a little phone call or you know, sending an email, sending a text, sending a physical letter or card. This is the greatest opportunity for touching people's lives in every way possible, but physically, because people are around and they have more time and availability to receive from us. There's initiatives that are going on around the state too. There's a good ministry in Milwaukee called BASICS, which is an acronym for Brothers and Sisters in Christ Serving, and they're doing a couple different things. One of the things I just saw today is they started an SOS, Save Our Shepherds Fund, for supporting pastors, because obviously giving is down and pastoral income is at a real low because nobody's attending church and they're not taking physical offerings. And so the entrepreneurship and creative ideas that we are responding to the situation in ways that haven't been done before, and I'm real inspired and real encouraged that while we cannot do the physical things we were able to do before, we're doing other things in many other ways and having the same amount of impact, if not more impact. Different areas, Tomahawk, northern part of Wisconsin, Madison Capital, South Central, Southeast, Milwaukee, where John is, over in Appleton, Green Bay, all different parts around the states. I'm getting good reports of people doing things, and the Holy Spirit is helping people get very creative, and they're reaching people like they haven't done before. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate the update. And we've got Chad in Milwaukee, kind of the epicenter here in Wisconsin of the epidemic. Chad, what's going on down in Milwaukee?
All right. Well, it's great to be on the line with everyone. Praise God for this acceleration of all of our prayers being answered and folks being mobilized. Just thank you guys all for your faithfulness. What we're seeing in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, and then with our relationships with Worship City and Brent on the ground in Florida, and our partners at Subsplash, a tech company out of the Seattle area, we've really been focusing on asking pastors and ministry leaders, obviously the needs of online giving, worship leaders, and how to get their online presence up and running for some of the ministries and congregations that may have not been ready or prepared and don't have the resources. So we've really pulled together, and just to echo some of the conversation, what Rick mentioned, with Subsplash being a partner of ours at Worship City, they've really responded to allow the online giving solution for churches that might not be ready to go, and then effective communication and streaming options. So we've just been really hearing both at our conference that we did last weekend called the Roar Conference. We saw pastors from around the country and worship leaders pull together, and that really presented the opportunity through prayer and discerning together of how do we provide worship leaders, a network of worship leaders to fill the gaps online of perhaps pastors and ministries that have great teaching, preaching and Bible study happening, but there's a tremendous need of worship leaders. So we've been getting feedback on the ground here in Milwaukee and across the nation of creating an online worship leader that would be tailored to specific ministries so that depending on traditional, contemporary, or more modern worship styles, we can help assist to fill those gaps and provide some practical next steps, online giving and worship. So those have been some of the spaces we've been, and then just really seeing practically our partnership with the National Christian Foundation, both here in Wisconsin and across the nation, making sure ministries know about some of those funds, as Rick mentioned here in Milwaukee, making sure people are aware, churches, ministries, and businesses of those funds that are available, the application links and process and what those next steps are to keep ministry being funded and so that we can continue to advance the gospel and even see more lives impacted. So those are some of the things we've been praying and working through, and would love if there's any churches, ministries looking to take those next steps or need some help getting online or looking for that giving streaming partner, we would love to help at Worship City.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chad, maybe you could put your a link to your resources or even just yourself up in the chat, and that way if people are interested in how you could serve them, they could contact you there.
That would be great. I'm on the phone. What is the best way?
Okay. Yeah.
Do I just text it to you? Or?
I'm on the computer, so I got this chat feature and video feature. So just so everybody knows, that is available. I know a lot of you on your phones right now, which is the way we've always done this, but this freeconferencecall.com also has video and chatting. So, and, of course, we do record these, so that's available as well. Let me just give me your contact information there, Chad, and then I will put it out in the chat, and that will be in kind of.
All right. You just want me to text you?
No, you just keep... say it right now.
All right. Phone number, area code is 630-728-7421. And then the best email is just my first name, Chad, @ Brent Taylor, Taylor, live.
Taylor.
Yep, live.
Brent Taylor live.
.com. Yep.
All right, thank you, Chad.
And that's the best way. Yes, thank you.
Super, super, super. Okay, I also know that Jim Case is on the call. Jim, we'd love to hear from you. Jim's my partner here in the Fox Cities in Wisconsin, and just doing some tremendous work in the neighborhood, and, of course, that's all adjusted as well. But I think our learnings here might be applicable to city reachers all over the nation. So, Jim, why don't you go ahead and share where you see God at work here in Appleton?
Well, I thank you, Chad, and for those that I've heard so far, it's just very inspirational to hear what God is doing and the uniqueness of other servants and other places, too. Because we're really localized, not only in our neighborhood, but in the city, Rock Cities at large. And I would echo what Rick had to say about believers pivoting in their own personal spaces. There's so much spontaneous momentum in believers' hearts to think innovatively and engaging their neighbors in ways that are safe, whether on walks and taking the initiative at a safe distance to inquire how people are doing. And to do that daily so that they can have multiple contacts with some of the same people, and then open up the possibilities of deeper discussions and the invitation to pray. And whatever that yields in this time, when we're out of that, that has created a pathway for further relational engagement. That it's a way to take advantage, certainly, of these times. People wouldn't have been near as open to that. So those spontaneous things are really cool. And I think that's happening all over the city, all over the nation, as believers are being called out of themselves to be more external in their own space and with their own families. But I yearn for more of an intentional, coordinated approach, too. And I don't think some churches like Alan, the church at large in Fresno was prepared and equipped, and elsewhere, too. But not so here in the Fox Cities. John knows this through his engagement with Emphasis on Christian Emergency Network and so many other things that are longing to see the church come together in a planful, prayerful, intentional way. And so I'm working on ways to invite that, because our city has come together, as many cities have from a community perspective, to pool resources and make plans for the worst of the crisis, which has not reached us yet by any means. There's only a few cases, one fatality. And as they've done that with a good-hearted approach, there's three believers that are part of this extensive nonprofit and for-profit group that's looking to support the most vulnerable seniors, those that are incapacitated or mental illness, fall through the cracks most readily. That would be a real item for prayer, because I've talked with these three believers who are part of that community initiative, and in terms of identifying a liaison to the churches through our ministerial, the diocese, and some other governing bodies that could mobilize the church to fill that volunteer pipeline. Which would, because they've done the work, they can identify these individuals and the church can come alongside. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. So if we can pray for the church to not only be focused on getting themselves online and getting their own programs and things up to speed, and focus on the spontaneous individual reactions that the Spirit would motivate, but a true humility that would enable them to say, "Hey, let's find out how we can humble ourselves in unity and come alongside our community and be a blessing," like Jeremiah 29 would say, and just see what kind of favor that would elicit as we shine like a light, a lamp on the hill. So I guess that's a good summary right now. There's other things going on, but that's the yearning of my heart in the midst of this time.
Awesome. Jim, thank you so much. Jason Day, you didn't get a chance to share yet, but we'd love to hear from you. Where do you see God at work in your region?
So this is Jake Day. I'm in Colorado Springs. I'm with Outreach. And a lot of the work that we've been doing is, you know, national on a national level with Go 2020, as Kathy mentioned earlier, with All America and City Gospel Movement and some other organizations. But the one thing that I've been seeing the most over the last few weeks in meeting with national ministry leaders and denominational leaders is that one of the things that we've seen a lot of was that a lot of city movements were had some good prayer resources, thanks to Kathy and her team and others around prayer. And they had some good sharing resources, thanks to Dare to Share and Every Home for Christ and others. But what was interesting is kind of the care piece, that kind of middle piece, there wasn't as much happening. But what we have seen with the COVID-19 crisis is and others have mentioned this on the call, an elevated interest or concern in what does it look like to demonstrate compassionate care during this time, specifically as people are, for the most part, shelter at home, so they're in their neighborhoods. So a couple of things that our team has done, which have been, you know, well received. One is we work with, you know, thousands of smaller churches around the country as well as larger churches, but the smaller churches, many of them did not have any streaming capabilities or anything along those lines. So our team built out a free platform and just gave it away to churches. And the first weekend, over 3,000 churches jumped on and were streaming. And so we just been kind of coaching and helping them just stay connected with their people, not just on the weekends for their worship and for their sermons and messages, but throughout the week with, you know, kids at home, so children's ministry things, those types of things. So freeonlinechurch.com has been like a huge resource that we've been seeing lots of churches using, and even more so, like I said, throughout the week. So that's been kind of a cool thing to see. But as far as city movements here in Colorado Springs, well, we've at Outreach, we've pulled together and met with different ministry leaders, and we have this Neighbors Helping Neighbors movement that has launched right in the midst of this crisis. And really focuses on helping churches and ministry leaders equip and encourage their people to be the hands and feet of Jesus right in their neighborhood, on their block, or in their condo building or apartment building. And we've seen really good traction right here in Colorado Springs just through our ministry headquarters, getting our people engaged. And so we have some free resources and tools along those lines. A sermon that we have available, kind of a sermon starter for churches to really focus in on the Great Commandment. What does it look like to love your neighbor in the midst of coronavirus? And then we have like a dozen door challenge, helping people like look at the 12 closest homes to them and begin connecting with those people, even from a distance. And so we have door hangers that people can put their contact information on. And so people are going out, walking their dogs, prayer walking their neighborhood, and just hanging these on their neighbor's doors with their contact information, saying, hey, we're here for you. If you need any assistance, if you need, you know, someone, you know, running to the grocery store to pick something up for you, or prescriptions, or just to talk to you. A lot of people are isolated. There are many people that live alone. And they, you know, so they don't have anyone to really talk to or to pray with you. And so we have those door hangers and really encouraging, really, you know, our heart and our hope is that pastors of thousands and thousands of churches across the country will really encourage the people to step up and lean in as the church. And this is what we're seeing more and more over the last probably 2 weeks now. Initially, there was a lot of people were kind of reactionary and somewhat on the defensive, right, because things were changing so quickly. And most pastors were just kind of looking at how do we keep things rolling, how do I connect with my people and, you know, extend pastoral care and those types of things. But we've seen a really cool shift over the last couple weeks now, and some of you have even mentioned this, where churches and individual Christ followers are looking at the opportunities presented in the midst of this. We serve a God who redeems, and seeing God redeeming this this time and this horrible virus, but redeeming this time for His good and His glory. And so we see churches stepping into that and saying, okay, now how do we do ministry in the midst of this, not just to our own people, although that's important, but how do we continue to reach people who are far from God, people who have fears and wrestling with uncertainty in the midst of this. And so a bunch of different resources that we've pulled together and sharing. I did a training on this with a bunch of pastors this week, and we're just seeing them step in and really say, okay, this is the time for us to be good neighbors, to love our neighbor, you know, embrace the greatest commandment, to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors. And we can do that in this time in meaningful ways. We believe wholeheartedly that these are seeds being planted during this time, in very meaningful ways as we kind of extend the compassionate care and love of Christ to those around us, and that we're going to see a great harvest as our thing is good neighbors doing good deeds leads to goodwill, which opens the door to the good news. So there's a lot of good stuff in there, and we believe that we're going to see that, right? So a couple quick resources that really helping around this neighboring movement. And we have a lot of ministry organizations who are engaged in this. But if you go to either outreach.com/neighboring, so outreach.com/neighboring, there you can find the resources that are more specific for citywide movements or individual churches, those types of things. But then we also have a kind of an outward-facing site that's being promoted through national media and those types of things, and that is helpingyourneighbors.com. And so that anyone can jump on and get some free resources, different tips on how to help your neighbors, or order, you know, we're subsidizing the cost on as much as everything that we're putting out there in this movement. So, like a local, you know, family can order a dozen door hangers and download the free tip guide and those types of things for, and they can get them shipped to their house for $2.50 and go reach, you know, the 12 closest homes to them. So there's some cool resources. We see some really good things happening, and we just want to be of service to local churches and citywide movements as they're trying to kind of lock arms and serve their city during this crazy crisis. So anything
where can
do to
we
help.
See, where can we see the door hangers, what they look like?
Yeah, if you go to outreach.com/neighboring,
okay. Great.
They're on there. Yeah, and we have yard great. Signs as well, you know, simple yard signs that kind of match the door hanger. So what a lot of people are doing is they'll put the yard sign in their yard and then prayer walk their neighborhood and hang the door hangers out so that people, when they look at the door hanger, they know which house. Because a lot of people honestly don't know the names of their neighbors. They may know a couple, but they don't know, you know, more than a handful. So, but some really cool things coming out of it already, you know, just stories. And we're collecting those stories, and we'll be sharing those as well. But cool stories of people having prayer with others, people helping people in need, people just expressing their gratitude that someone, you know, down the road cares for them because they're home alone. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Jason, thank you so much. I'm so glad you were on the call today. These resources look fantastic. And
thank you.
I'm going to do, I'm trying to, you know, capture all of this in our chat. What I'll do is I'll copy the whole chat, and then I'll send this back out to everyone on the invitation list for the call. And then feel free to use and share these resources with pastors and ministry leaders in your region. That's what this call is all about, is resourcing and, you know, sharing best practices. And, Jason, that's just fantastic what's going on through Outreach. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
John, excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
I sent you another resource from the Art of Neighboring, and it's entitled COVID-19 Neighboring Toolkit. So I sent that to your email that you include
excellent.
On that
I'll definitely include that, Jim. Thank you so much. That is a wonderful resource as well, artofneighboring.com. I'll include that. Now, I've got 10 people on the call, but I think only 9 of us have checked in. Am I missing someone who hasn't had a chance to share yet? Okay. All right. I'm going to assume everybody's had a chance to share. Does anybody else want to share anything else? Maybe something clicked in your mind as you were listening to someone else. Go ahead and share at this time if you'd like.
I assume everyone knows about the payroll protection program. And this is Alan from Fresno. We've looked into it extensively. ECPA recommends it. Christianity Today recommends it. To keep your staff for a couple months, pay their payroll. I would encourage you to look into that because it's a we don't take government money. but we're making an exception here because it's a grant with no strings attached. Pacific Justice Institute has said there are no strings. You spend it for what you got it for, and that's the only requirement, and it becomes a grant. So I would encourage you to look into that.
Alan, do you have a website or resource that people could check out for that?
A Small Business Administration. I don't have
SBA.gov.
I think, and it's a Small Business Administration loan you get through your bank, and then the loan becomes a grant in 2 months after you've paid your, it's for paying your payroll, it's for paying rent, utilities, and I don't know what else. Those are the main things. But just about every, contact the largest ministry in your town, they'll know about it. And that it goes for churches, it goes for non-Christian nonprofits, other small businesses. It's really very unique. It's part of that plan Donald Trump instituted to send people money and help small businesses keep their people.
Excellent. And this is
John. There's. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, John. There's a webinar from the Pacific Justice Institute and Brad Dacus today at 2 o'clock Pacific on this very thing, So if anyone's interested, if you go to pacificjustice.org, they're rolling that out specifically, I think, for pastors at 2 p.m. Pacific today.
Yeah, that's good.
John, another resource on that, if you guys are familiar with Will Vanderblumen and the Vanderblumen Group, they've been doing some stuff around the CARES Act and the Paycheck Protection Program specifically for pastors, churches, and nonprofits. So I know they've done several webinars and have been updating it kind of regularly. So there might be some information there that could be helpful.
Yeah, what's the website?
If you know Vanderblumen, so it's VanderBloemen.com.
Okay, got it.
Thank basically, you go to a bank. Go to a large bank in your city. They'll know about it.
John, this is Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. I'm glad you joined us.
Yeah. We just did a webinar. I'm a chapter of Gospel Justice, and we just did a training on the CARES. And I think I have to look in my emails. They may have sent out just kind of a bullet sheet of the important pieces of it because we went through the how it's set up and what you need to do. So I will look for that, and if there is one, I will send it to you. But I know we at Gospel Justice did a training on it just this week.
So that's Gospel Justice. Is that .org?
Yes, GJI.org. Because they're lawyers, so they are reaching out to some of their clients that may be in need of that program.
Okay, excellent. GJI.org?
Mm-hmm.
Administer Justice, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They switched to Administer Justice now as their full title.
Okay,
so.
We'll include that link as well here. Awesome.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing too with the, you know, because I'm in legal aid, basically reaching out to the clients that I've been walking alongside in court, and just now since I'm not doing that piece, to reach out and see if they just need prayer or need some supplies or anything that they might need. So that's kind of what we've been doing for our outreach.
And you're in the Bay Area right now, or is that where you're stuck?
I'm back and forth. I got stuck actually in Southern California, but mainly I'm up in the Bay Area.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well, Marcy.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else you want to share?
No, that's just really what we've been doing. And also the neighborhood piece we've been doing. My neighborhood's been really great about people reaching out and facilitating assistance for those that might not be able to get out.
Okay, yeah. Yep, that's awesome. I've been in contact as well with Phil and Neil out of Indy, and they're trying to do the best they can to provide resources for all of us in our work, and so I've got some links there for some of Neil's work and some of Phil's work as well, as we're, you know, we're all retooling right now. And before we close in prayer, I just wanted to share something, and I don't want to be an alarmist here or anything, but I don't know if this is from God or just my crazy brain thinking, but I know we've had about 2 weeks to kind of redefine how we do our work, and the mission hasn't changed. That's clear, and like it's already been shared, there's more passion now than ever and more prayer now than ever and more mobilization than ever. So this truly is an act and move of God. But one of the things I thought about and came to my mind was, what if we lost this? What if we lost our cell phone towers? What if we lost internet? How would we do what we're called to do? And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I have no idea what's down the road. This all may pass, and I'm afraid we just go back to business as normal. But one of the things I was challenged to think about was, okay, what if you didn't have a telephone and you didn't have the internet and a computer and video chats? How would we go about completing the mission? And no one wanted to think about what we're doing now a month ago. And look at how quickly we've had to retool everything. Well, what if we had to do the next step and go back to first century Christianity and change the world without these tools? Again, I don't want to take anybody off track with that thought, but I just want us to come back to the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, that we don't become dependent upon our buildings, our budgets, our technologies, but we are truly dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. And so it's a personal challenge, I think, for all of us to just abide in Christ and to take this time to unplug, to reset, let God download his new operating system for all of us, and then to act. I love the title of your book, Alan, Pray and Then Go. You know, I just love that. And I think that's really this new operating system. It's very simple. It's very pure. And it's motivated out of love and gratitude to Jesus for what he has done for each of us and forgiving us of our sins and setting us free from sin and death. And that's the hope that people need to hear today. So, again, I want to thank everyone for sharing today. It's so encouraging to hear what God is doing in your cities and communities. I love the plethora of resources that we've got here, and I'm going to do my best to get this out to everyone. And, of course, I'm sure Neil is going to be excited to archive this, and, of course, David Bowden is helping us with our webpage as well. So, again, Kathy, I don't know if you're still on the line, but would you be willing to close us out in prayer if you are?
I'm here.
Thank you.
Oh, so, Lord Jesus, we fix our eyes on you. We seek your face before your favor. Lord, we do cry out for those who are sick, for those who have lost, for those who are scared and hurting. I think about the anxiety and fear that my family's reporting in the eyes of the elderly down in South Florida. And they're going home to New York and to Boston, saying that if they're going to die, they'd rather die in their homes than down in their condos. And, Lord, that just scares us. And so we ask for wisdom, Lord. And we say, just as Habakkuk did, that even though, this is an even though moment, even though our wealth goes up and down in the stock market, even though some people don't know how they're going to pay their mortgage next month, even though the fig tree fail, the olive harvest fail, even though no stable filled with cattle, whatever the situation, no cell phone towers, Lord, you are unchanging and you are always reliable. You alone are our God. And so we fix our eyes and hearts on you, speaking hope to our neighbor, speaking love to the world, and speaking the gospel to anyone who will listen. Mm-hmm. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity in these unprecedented days to share your love and share your word. May we be found fruitful and faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy, and thank you, everyone, for sharing today. I look forward to our call next month, and we'll keep you updated as we move along here. So God bless you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.